Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Good day to you, Leslie, dear.
Oh, gosh. Good day to you, dear.
Are you feeling fussy today?
Fussy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess a little bit, maybe.
Are you musty?
No, I'm not. I'm not musty. Hmm. Are you musty?
You tell me.
No, you smell great.
How's everybody doing today? There's not that many people watching, which is fine. It's Sunday. What's going on today? I don't think anything's going on. It was football last time we were on. That was 2 weeks ago.
Oh, was that the Super Bowl, right?
There was, yeah, it was Super Bowl. There was a halftime. I didn't watch it. We skipped it. We had a lot
I never
of
watch it.
She never watches it. You have some childhood trauma around loud sports TV.
Ball. I wouldn't say that it's childhood trauma, but I don't...
You don't like the Adirondack? What's the pattern that you don't like? Adirondack?
No. Gingham.
Gingham.
I don't like gingham.
So gingham apparently is not like Japanese robot fighter jets, but it's actually a... And let's fix you a little bit because you're
Why
off the screen.
Why am I fixing?
It's actually like the pattern of a... what's the curtain that you put on a table?
Like a tablecloth?
Yeah, it's like a tablecloth pattern.
It's a curtain that you put on a table?
Yeah, it's like, ooh, let's cover up this sunlight. What are you going
to
log
I was going to, but I can't remember the password to this account. Would you log into yours?
I didn't want to do that. So why don't you switch user to me? Sorry, okay. So we did. We were thinking of things today, and I thought it would be great to have her read some green text, which is a 4chan phenomenon. I thought it would be cool to have like a reaction video of me reading green text to Leslie. I mean...
Wait, what does that mean? What is green text?
Yeah, but it wasn't time to do that yet. So we took the Jordan Peterson personality test, which is... Where is it at? Why don't it's you save the, your...
I do, but this is an account I don't use very often. So I took this test actually like 6 years ago, and... The way that it's set up, it's Jordan Peterson's website's version of the Big Five personality test.
Ooh.
And I like the Big Five a lot. That's what I, when I was studying psychology in undergrad, my
it's
professor
like the,
really
it's like
liked
the
this
horoscope
one.
Of psychologists.
It was like, it gives you a good overview of your temperament, your basic temperament.
Yeah.
And so I really like this one, and his website offers a pretty good one. It offers a nice, sort of analysis of your results after you take it. And it offers you a chance to link it to somebody else's, which is kind of cool. So in that way, it's like the horoscope of, you know, like how does your personality link up with your partner's personality? So I had to use a different email address because they only want you to take it once. And I decided to take it again because I looked over my results and I thought that didn't really sound like me. So I wanted to see if I was right or not.
Like how? Did it not sound like you? Like you were much more agreeable than you actually are?
What are you implying?
Not that you'd be disagreeable. That would not be agreeable.
One of the things was it said that I was like only maybe moderate or low moderate in assertiveness. And I thought, no, I'm pretty assertive. So I wonder how that is. And when I took it again, it actually said that I was high in assertiveness, I think. So it was some of those kind of things. And I wondered, maybe my life has changed enough. Basic temperament isn't supposed to change very much. So it would make sense if my results were relatively similar over time. And they were relatively similar.
I just did it just before we jumped on. And It was difficult for me to do the test because I didn't know who I was talking about.
What do you mean?
Like, am I talking about
Yourself.
like how easily agitated I am in our life right now or online? Like, I have this personality or this persona that I've created who is very disagreeable, who is really curious about how other people feel. But in day-to-day life, like, I don't really care how other people feel.
Well, then you
But
just answer
I
honestly.
care about how you feel because it directly affects how I feel. So it's just so much of it was like, it really depends.
Yeah.
It really depends on like the incentive structures that I'm in.
Well, you just have to kind of think of what is your baseline?
I
What
think
is
I'm
you?
boring. I think that's what I am. I think I'm boring. I'm low in a few things and moderately high in
You know,
other things, but
anybody
I'm
who
not
makes
really.
up poetry like you do, quirky, you're constantly making up funny little turns of phrase. Your
Yeah.
mind is always
Yeah, they're
working.
mind
That's
turds.
not boring.
They're psychic droppings.
Gross.
They are the ejaculate of my imagination.
Well, now you've gone and made it all
It's
gross.
just hydraulics, man. It's nothing
Oh
big.
man. Ninja Kitty says gingham style. That's funny. Gingham, that pattern when I was pregnant, going through a lot of morning sickness, and I was working in a consignment store, and for some reason a lot of the things that we were getting in were gingham. I don't know if it was just a fashion trend for a little bit or what, but it kind of somehow my morning sickness got associated with a particular visual pattern.
Oh, see, this is what happens with you. You get really intensely mapped. Like, you
Do I?
map things really intensely to negative affect.
Really?
Like, cold coffee, like,
Yeah,
you
I don't like
vomit whenever, like,
that.
crosses your.
This is a little too cold.
Yeah, exactly. So what we do is like I drink coffee and then I get down, I finish my coffee, I pour a new cup and I bring it to you and I drink the rest of your coffee because you
Yeah.
can only have like a certain
Well,
temperature.
it's very nice of you too.
But like you have a
I
very
wonder
strong,
if our
I wonder
couple's
if that's a,
personality test
is
will
that a
say something about that.
personality thing? Okay, could you find where the
Yeah, it's
scale
right
report
here. It's
is?
right here.
Relationship report with Leslie E.
Yeah, that'll be it probably.
Right there.
There we go.
Okay. So, Leslie, also, you said that you weren't totally comfortable with sharing like your psychic energy with the internet
Well,
or
you
like
said
your
you, when
profile.
you suggested that we go over our big five scores in public, I thought, I don't know,
So,
that's
what are these big
awfully.
five since you're so smart?
Okay, big five is the one of the acronyms that is commonly used is OCEAN. So the big five would be openness, conscientiousness, extroversion, agreeableness, and neuroticism. And it's just looking at your personality. At each one of those is a scale, is a spectrum. So are you high in openness, low in openness, high in extroversion, low in extroversion, you know, and on and on. And then how those things interact with each other tells you something about your temperament and the way that you interact with other people and your environment.
And so you told a story about how in certain therapeutic contexts, especially with couples therapy, it can be really good to offset the blame mechanism of like, you don't treat me right, or right, like some tensions within the couple couldn't be resolved just by understanding each other from like a semi-objective or psychological point of view.
Yeah, I think so. And I think also with yourself too, not just within couples, but also just with yourself. Sometimes it helps to take a look at, okay, well, this is an overview of what my temperament looks like. This is how I can be. A lot of the things about me can be explained by looking at these sort of baseline temperamental attributes. And it gives you a chance to sort of figure out if there are ways that you want to adapt to change things about yourself. Like I noticed that, you know, some things that we're really low on, if you're really low on something and you're like, well, I can really see that that's getting in my
I could
way.
be a little bit neuro more neurotic, guys.
More orderly.
Well, you're the orderly one.
No, I mean, did you see your score
Oh
for
no.
industriousness and orderliness, your conscientiousness? Did you see what that
Well,
was?
I mean, I didn't know what that meant. I'm like, okay, well, I'm a lazy bum.
Well, you're not really, but that's.
But I kind of am, but I kind of not. Like. It's just weird.
No, you're not.
Like, I'm pretty industrious.
But it's like, do you have to work harder to get yourself to do things
to motivate myself?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. 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 Okay.
And so if you see that about your partner too, it's kind of helpful sometimes to take a look and say, oh, okay, well, this is where we're not lining up. And sometimes I might think that, like, I think in the very first one, what was it? I think they started with agreeableness in the couples report.
Did it?
And so it starts out by kind of saying, well, if you're higher in agreeableness than your partner, you might sometimes feel like they, what does it say? Implications.
You are typically in agreeableness and your partner is high in agreeableness. So I'm typical. I'm like chill. And she's like, yes, dear.
No. Agreeableness is, okay. So it is, what is it? Politeness and compassion are the two aspects of agreeableness that they, the way that they are mapped in this test. So you're, it says you're average in compassion. Your
Who?
Partner,
Me.
You. You
and you're super compassionate.
Your partner is high in compassion. So yeah. It gave you a 48th percentile, gave me a 91 percentile.
So she cares. And
but then look at this.
I let her care.
But look at this. Politeness. You are 76% in politeness and I'm only 38.
Shut up, bitch. Wasn't that nice? Did I say that really nice? Like she laughed.
You know, I can tolerate that because I'm not very polite apparently, so I can put up with your shit.
You're not polite?
Apparently, I'm not.
Should we talk about like that interaction we had over the
Christmas
break?
I'm lower in politeness than 61% of people. What did I do over Christmas break?
No, we just had an interaction of, we had a very blustery interaction with a neighbor.
Oh, that was kind of funny. Did we already talk about that?
I don't know if we did, but it was really interesting.
Oh, like, yeah,
how
I
we
guess
kinda,
so, yeah.
How, like, we were both understanding, and I was being polite, and then she kept on pushing the issue, and then you, like,
I was like
you ran
okay.
out of politeness.
Nope.
You ran out of politeness, and I'm like, well, I have more politeness to give.
Yeah, that's true. That was interesting.
It was interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess it's that, like, there's a boundary there. Like, I'm not going to continue to...
Well, I think that... So, there's certain... I wonder if it makes sense to think of it in terms of regulation. Like I have high emotional regulation. So it's interesting. Do you get irritated? I get irritated more than I lose my temper. Like I get irritated pretty quickly.
I don't get irritated very easily.
But I can hold on to my temper. I don't feel threatened that often. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I do. But I don't know. It's just so weird. Like it's just really weird. It's... So we were talking about the Minnesota psychological inventory, which
Minnesota
you know something about.
Multiphasic personality inventory.
Multiphasic.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, I don't know that much about it. I know it's a test that's often used to sort of screen for personality disorders and other mental illness. It's I took it when I was in undergrad because I was part of this. I was taking classes with the master's program there because I'd already done so many. I was having to retake a lot of my psych credits because I'd taken them in at a community college.
Yeah.
And then when I went into this university and I was in their psych program, they made me retake them. And I had a faculty mentor who offered me the opportunity to take them with the graduate class instead because it would be more interesting for me instead of just retaking the same material. And so I got to know some of these students, and as they were doing some of their work administering exams, they needed guinea pigs. And so I was just, you know, since I was working with these students, they were using me for some of their tests. So that's the only way I got acquainted with that test. I've never had to administer it. But it's interesting.
I took it once and I failed.
You can't fail that.
Well, they told me to take it again because I was unscannable. Like they
what does that mean?
I don't know. They said they couldn't figure
Maybe
me out.
Maybe they thought you answered something incorrect or like you didn't.
See, that's the thing. Like incorrect.
Well, I guess so.
Yeah. Maybe. Well, okay. So this
Maybe
is what
they
happened.
Thought that you misunderstood something or that they needed to re-present the question.
Okay, well, I'm going to say what happened.
Okay.
So I took it because I got, a long time ago, like in 2001 or 2002, I had a security detail job and it was at a high rise in Portland, Oregon.
Okay.
And they had me take that test, and it was a really long test. So my roommate like read out the questions and I would answer them. And then he told me, don't answer that way.
Oh.
Because he had been in a psychological facility that he'd been locked up, and he was locked up for a long time. And what? Then he realized
you had a roommate who was locked up.
Yeah. And he realized though,
wow, that's really interesting.
He's like, all you have to do is just tell them what you want. They want to hear.
Okay.
Like you just tell them what they want to hear. And so I would say something. He's like, no, they don't want to hear that.
Oh, so
like, do you hear voices in your head, or do you often have weird ideas and something? Yeah, I have weird ideas. Yeah, I can. I'm a writer. Of course, I hear voices in my head. Okay. I can like when.
So he's saying that sounds like those. You're putting off some red flags. So red alter flag. This in order. Yeah.
Okay. So maybe he futs with my.
Okay. So then.
My identity.
There were strange. Your response, your scores were weird. Mm-hmm. And so they made you redo it.
I guess so.
Did you redo it?
Yeah, yourself? I did it all like over 2 nights. It's a really long test. It's like 1,200 questions.
It's or very long.
Like that. Yeah. You go over like, would you feel upset if your father gave you flowers? Do you want to drive over mice?
What?
They just like, they're throwing all these curves. They're like literally screwing with you. It's like a pressure test. I'm
it's
like,
strange.
Okay. Yeah, it's mm-hmm. really weird.
But they ask things, and they're coded in ways so that they can get at a particular aspect of personality without you understanding what they're trying to get at. That's what they're trying to do.
Yeah,
they're trying so to... that they can look from different angles at the same thing.
Do you think that mental illness is a thing, and like mental disorders are a thing, or is there just? Is that a thing, like a narcissistic personality disorder? Is that like just how you're baked from your point of view? Because I have interviewed psychologists, and they do say that there are certain personality disorders that are treatable and some that are not treatable.
Personality disorders versus mental illness or as mental illness?
Okay, so that's a good question. What's the difference between a personality disorder and a mental illness?
Well, you know, if you want a real expert opinion, you wouldn't ask me. But...
is that your disorder or your illness?
No, I just don't know that I don't know that I'm going to have the best answer for you. I mean, if you really want somebody to break that down, get a clinician who's really that their work. I mean, I'm trained in diagnosis.
Yeah.
And I've got clinical training, but I am not somebody who puts that into practice. So I'm no expert at all. You know, from my perspective, I would say that there are people who have psychiatric illness that really do benefit from that clinical model. Mm-hmm. And personality disorder is complex, but the major hallmark of personality disorder is pervasive and persistent difficulty in your relationships with other people that mm-hmm. follows a particular pattern.
Okay,
so it's relational.
Yeah.
But it's also about the way that you see yourself and the world. So it's, you know, as far as Josh Slocum talks about this a lot. He likes to use the. Are you putting up our results or is that?
No,
just
that was
the
just
general?
Mine. I don't know if anybody wanted to see it. I don't even know if it's interesting or not.
I mean, it's interesting. I think it's interesting to understand. Those things about yourself.
Well, I really do think that like I have an internet persona that I incorporate so often that like it's kind of a separate subroutine of my overall personality.
But do you have an actual like perspective from Internet Benjamin? Like can you go into Internet Benjamin mode?
Well, there's even different Internet Benjamins. Like there's Twitter Benjamin.
Yeah, he's quite the Loki.
And then there's Interview Benjamin. And then there's like Leslie's little afternoon Sunday pet deepen.
Is that what you are?
Am I not something else? Yeah.
Like, yeah. Well, that's cute.
But I guess it's interesting because it's like, do I get so much of it is like emotional regulation as opposed to like, is it a. It's one thing to feel certain ways and it's another thing to act different ways. And is having the capacity to regulate your behavior over your emotion, like which is your personality, the thing that you do or the capacity to regulate your personality? I mean, I understand the stuff with with cleanliness or something like that, like orderliness. Yeah. It's like I have a high tolerance for disorder, but
And I have a really low tolerance.
Yeah, you have a low tolerance of disorder, and I kind of function better when things are a little bit messier.
No, your office is crazy.
Yeah, my office is just this bundle of
I know,
stuff.
I can't even. I can't even.
It's kind of like a firewall, though, to keep you out of it.
Yeah,
you know?
I know.
Like, oh, don't enter here. Yeah, chaos awaits.
I can't. It's like there's some energy emanating from
yes.
the disaster that is your office.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not that bad. But it is bad. Yeah. Your side of the bed looks bad, too.
Thank you.
The floor?
Yeah.
Oh, you do.
All my clothes.
I have to clean it.
No, I clean it.
No, okay. I clean it.
I feel bad.
No, you don't.
Okay.
Because you're low in neuroticism. You're not going to feel that bad about it.
Well, what do you do with your neuroticism? It said on the personality sheet that Peterson, he says, if you're younger, you'll have typically higher neuroticism than
older. Oh, really?
Older,
younger?
He said.
Is that
it was interesting.
That's interesting.
I mean, I think over time, and then men versus women, like mm-hmm. they're trying to compare you in this and your percentile uh-huh. mm-hmm. to the average person, but
yeah.
you compared to your own cohort or your own sex is going to be different than low in withdrawal. That's interesting.
Mm.
What's
oh,
withdrawal?
Oh, wow.
You are low. This is me. You are low in the aspect of withdrawal. This means you are likely to be calmer in new, threatening, complex, uncertain, or unexpected situations. You are less likely than average to withdraw from or avoid such situations. But I constantly avoid those situations.
Yeah, but it says that your partner is high in withdrawal.
Wait, maybe this is inverted.
No,
you're always looking for, you want us to go out. You want us to ride the
But fence. That's not about extroversion. This is about how you deal with negative emotion, negative, like difficult feelings.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
yeah.
See, this is the thing. So in my internet persona, I get to curate the situations that I put myself in. So I don't put myself in situations where I need to withdraw. So I don't feel mm-hmm. the need to express withdrawal. Because I'm not, I preload my
Did
reality.
You feel like the questions were you having to think about an internet persona versus a daily persona?
No, but I was thinking, that? Well,
because
you know,
it's not about
am I agitated
that.
Easily? Yeah. Like
you...
when a 12-year-old boy is acting like a retard, I'm very agitated very easily. Like, but like.
You're getting better at it.
Yeah, I'm getting better at it. But like, that's because I'm regulating my emotions and allowing myself to adapt to the situation.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that's the personality trait that's more important.
Well, it's just asking you what's your baseline.
Okay.
It's just looking at temperament. So things like, for instance, when it asks about aesthetics, like, do you appreciate poetry?
I don't.
Do you? Okay, you don't.
But I like
do you
to create
see any
it.
Value in poetry.
I like to create it, but I hate reading it. Like this is the thing. It's like I like to output it, but I don't like
don't
to necessarily
like to,
inbound.
Like what about music? It asked about music.
I hardly ever listen to podcasts, but that's all I do in my
yeah.
life is make podcasts.
Well, it said it also asked about art. Do you think art?
Well, I can appreciate hidden beauty that other people don't typically see. Yeah.
So those things are just going to be how you feel about those things. It's not going to be about how does internet. You think, or how does you in daily life think? It's just asking you a question about what your perspective is.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're really just getting, you can adapt all kinds of things, but what's your baseline? What's mm-hmm. your temperament?
How much do you have to work at adapting
yeah,
to
yeah,
that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sometimes you can want to do things that you don't do very well. Like
yeah.
the low orderliness or low industriousness doesn't mean that you don't want to be on time to things. It just
oh,
might
no,
mean
I'm
that
very
you struggle
timely.
More
yeah.
to be on time or, you know, and I'm not, that not, I'm not saying specifically you about time, but like people who are lower in things, it just means that that's their tendency. It doesn't mean that it's necessarily what they value.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Values.
So, yeah.
Do we have a conversation?
Why did
values?
You make this about splitting crosshairs?
Oh, want, because
is it because we're splitting hairs about our?
Well, one, we're in the deep end, thing. So we're splitting hair. We do a lot of splitting
yeah,
hairs.
We do.
A lot of our conversation is about splitting hairs.
You think so?
We don't have to get into that, but I was thinking about like the way that like the alchemical process that difficult or contentious discussions go through with us. Like we have a contentious discussion and it keeps on presenting itself until we directly tackle
tentious.
It.
Is that a word or did you just make
it's
that up? Tentious.
It's tense. Like... But it's tentious. It's contentious.
Like, this is like Lewis Carroll. He made up all kinds of words.
Well, see, I'm high in
yeah.
in poeticism.
I think that's a made up
poeticism.
A neologism.
No, I don't know. Well, I mean, it's like it. Well, the play is like contentious, but like
Yeah.
we're just tenuous. But then we go through like I've seen us like a difficult conversation, and like I'm avoidant. You're like less avoidant than I am about like disagreement, and so but it'll keep on popping up until we finally just tackle it and go through all the emotions, and then it kind of like transfer. It goes through this alchemical process where we start to joke about it and we start to live with this issue and like be kind of friends. You know, it's like this dog. You know, we're kind of like taming this dog. You know, like this little kind of like rescue animal. Like it's like okay, well, how do we get
So our
it?
relationship is like a mutt.
Well, no, our relationship is like Noah's Ark. There's all these different like
Oh, that's
animals and
fun.
forces and stuff like that. And
Okay.
I was just watching us with different conversations or different issues. And we're really new in our relationship. We aren't even.
We've been married for, is it four
Well, the
months
yeah, but we
now?
moved in together in what, June? And like we met each other in April. So it's
Well,
not
we
even a
met each
year.
other in November.
Well, we met our personas, like knocked some mics.
And some emails. Yeah.
So we're
Nice.
really new, so we have a
Yeah.
lot to figure out. It's just really interesting to look at our relationship and how much we've done in so little amount of time. And I think that's because we're both psychologically adept in a lot of ways. We're both kind of really good at people and reading people. And also, I think there's, so I don't know to what degree is it compatibility or what degree is it like we're just like we sync up in a lot of like secondary ways. Like our age is very similar. Our, I guess temperament would be interesting.
Yeah, the temperament, it's pretty similar in some ways if you look at the Big Five, but with some differences.
Yeah. But I also put it splitting crosshairs. You have to lean in a little bit more to the
I
mic.
do. Okay.
Yeah, please. So the audio is better. I don't have to fix it so much. The
Okay.
crosshairs was that you got retweeted by
Ninja Kitty thinks you're in trouble. I'm wondering
KJK.
what are you in trouble for?
KJK?
Just oh gosh, yeah, the silly internet thing. That's interesting. It is interesting. I keep wondering like how much is the internet discourse and these Twitter fights that I know you say that this has been going on for a long time, and maybe this is just what Twitter is, but it's still sort of, I mean, I haven't been engaging in it for very long. And what really I started to see after the Genspect conference was these people getting really upset about, I guess splitting hairs in a way, but that's not going to do justice to the meat of the people's problem. I mean, the substance of the issues that people are raising, I think, is really important. The women who were really upset about a man in a dress attending a conference for gender discussion felt like this was, a lot of people felt like this was just terribly disrespectful to the seriousness of the issue and the concerns that people had.
And there were safeguarding or
Yeah,
trauma
this,
guarding
yeah, so there's that.
issues.
But I'm trying to give the argument, I guess, some respect and not just dismiss it. It was never to me a matter of dismissing that argument. It was a question of is there anything you can really do with that? Is there any, how do you handle a dress code issue like that? It's easy to draw a line and say, don't allow men into women's private spaces. But when the man is acknowledging that he's a man and he's not trying to go into women's private spaces, thank you.
This is too
And
cold
yeah.
for me.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
You're going to drink it anyway.
I'm going to drink it anyway.
You're very tolerant.
Thank you.
But when, you know, his overall behavior is pretty normal and respectful and polite and all the things that you would want in a professional setting, and it's only a matter of attire, how do you establish a line around that? And that was the question that I wanted to explore. It's like if someone's outward behavior is all fine, but they're wearing something that's coded for the opposite sex, what do you do with that? How do you make a rule that says, sir, you're going to have to go change your dress, but you're not turning to the woman who's wearing something that's really masculine and telling her she has to follow the same rule? Like, how do you do that? And that if he were, and the people who were mostly expressing frustration with this were people who hadn't actually been at that event. It seemed so.
Can I add a point? I think that Stella O'Malley recently got under the crosshairs. Oh man, I almost said something rude. Of the same group for just exploring openly to what degree, we don't know to what degree are
Or women,
lesbians or women motivated by a sexual or erotic desire when they
You
dress?
know,
We
that's
don't
interesting.
know.
And
And
how much does a regular, just regular Joe or Jane, who's not, there's no fetish, there's no sexual orientation. We're talking just a straight heterosexual person.
did you gonna say cis? Did you stop yourself from cissing?
No, I
Okay,
didn't.
good.
I didn't. I
She's
don't
good
like
not
that
to.
word. I
Yeah,
don't
okay.
consider it legitimate in any way, and I don't say it. Unless it's
She
about
don't
my
consider it
sister, and then I'll say
legitimate.
sis. But anyway, no, I mean just an average person. How much joy and self, I guess
Affirmation.
self pleasure do we get out of the way we dress sometimes? Kim Kardashian, isn't that she's the one who I know you have this whole like Kim Kardashian is an autogynephile thing that you do. She had this, I think it's really ridiculous, but I tend to kind of think a lot of new slang is ridiculous. But this phrase, I'm feeling myself, just really feeling myself. Like it's like taking a picture, taking a selfie, trying to look sexy because you think you look so hot in your outfit. Like that's a thing.
Is it
There's a
wankery?
whole meme
Is it
of,
wanky?
is it?
Is it?
I mean, it's like gratuitous self aggrandizement, I guess. So it's this sort of from that it
I
there's
don't think I don't think if you accept the possibility of the female autogynephile who puts so much effort
I
into
don't
idealizing herself as a woman, I don't think the difference between that type of behavior on a female or a man who seeks gratification by cross-dressing, I don't think the woman is far less likely to be able to achieve that that peak pleasure without an audience. I think that the selfie or the showing of themselves as a woman
Far less likely to
is.
achieve it without the
I think
audience.
that a man, a cross-dressing man or a man who's a transvestic fixation or fetish or sexual orientation can do that alone. And the woman, I think that a woman who has the desire to realize herself as a woman, at least in our culture, I think that it needs to be,
I
she
just
needs to be
disagree with this
seen
entire premise
as a
that you're
female.
raising about the female autogynephile.
Okay, well, yeah, but like
I
just,
think that what
okay, we can
you're
quibble over that, but do you see what I'm
I
saying
want to
about like
quibble
the,
over that.
okay.
I just want to
I wanted to
quibble
get
over
to
that.
the, I wanted to get to the need of the audience participation for validation. That was like over there, but we can
The
stop
cats
here.
are the audience.
We can stop here.
Just
Back here.
briefly.
Okay, that's fine.
I don't want to
We're in the
derail
deep
you. I
end.
just want to say briefly, I just think that this idea of a woman as an autogynephile, we already have a word for that. It's just narcissism. It's just conceit. It's just we're being self-absorbed. We're having a moment of being obsessed with ourself if we're doing that. And I think that the modifier or the use of that word to as a marker, the gyne, the woman, is an unnecessary
Okay.
add-on. So
Just an
I just you
autophile.
are being yeah, I guess so.
So a wanker.
You sure. Just don't wanker. Or whatever. But yeah, I think that the idea that someone might get excitement out of their clothing and out of the image that they're presenting is not necessarily something that is anybody else's business in terms of how we can regulate each other in social settings. There are going to be, we can distance ourselves from people that we think are behaving in a way that doesn't seem appropriate. If it seems like it's gratuitous and self-aggrandizing, we can spend less time around that person and decide that they're not somebody that we want to spend time with. But does it necessarily indicate that the social contract has been broken to a point where we can set rules around it. Like, can we police someone's state of mind that way? I mean, we can police the state of dress, but I would just want to know, what are the limits? How do we define, like, at the same conference, this is the thing that just came up recently that caused the crosshairs, the big criticism, and the Kelly J. Keene putting me and a bunch of other people on a blacklist of don't pay attention, don't platform, these people platform the wrong people, so don't watch their shows or listen to their stuff, was about another person who was at that same conference. And it's Julia Malott, who's a trans person, trans-identified male, so trans woman from Canada. And I've talked with Julia a couple of times. It's been a professional exchange of ideas.
Hey, you guys get along.
I have found Julia generally to be reasonable and have some moderate takes on some things. The latest thing that there's a stir about is apparently Julia made some comments about males breastfeeding, and I have not watched those comments. Julia does these, like, a lot of thoughts, commentary pieces.
Yeah, videos.
And I haven't watched this one, but I take it, and so I don't want to represent what the content is if I haven't actually seen it. Yeah. But the thing that people were upset about, they're saying that Julia thinks that it's okay for males to breastfeed. I don't.
Yeah.
That's not my opinion. I'm not in favor of induced lactation. I've heard there was a thing, this is way before the gender thing, was this thing about grandmothers inducing lactation so that they could breastfeed their grandbabies. And I found this really bothersome. It bothers me to think about a woman who is not naturally lactating, feeding a baby, because it's an awful lot of pharmaceutical intervention that it takes in order to generate that breast milk. And there's something very unnatural about this body is not in a state that would have produced that child. Breastfeeding is kind of like the fourth trimester in a way of pregnancy. It's supposed to happen after you've given birth. You don't pass off part of your pregnancy to another person to carry, because you can't do that.
What about wet nurses?
Well, a wet nurse, I would think, would be slightly different if a woman is naturally in a phase of lactation, because she's also just recently given birth, and she's lactating and breastfeeding, and she also tandem breastfeeds someone else's child.
Wait, this is the war on tits. We're doing another this week on the war on tits. Sorry, go on.
Yeah, well, okay. Well, so,
great.
So I don't know that I would have, I don't know that I have an issue with that. In fact, I donated lots of my own breast milk to other people when I was.
Is there a titty van?
No.
Like, he goes around and picks up.
No. It's more, I worked with a lactation consultant. I worked in a naturopathic clinic, and one of my coworkers was, there's a cat trying to get into a bag.
Hey, Bodie, stop.
So, she was always working with clients who were struggling to make enough milk. And so there was a donation process.
Yeah,
Some women pump too much, and then they donate it to women who aren't. You're such a child. You kid.
I'm sorry.
You can't.
Some women pump too much. It's such a good
song. They pump more milk than they end up needing.
I have to.
God, he's such a child.
I have to share my child, the childcore metal band.
Oh, yes.
Dark Pout. Yeah. My mama didn't pump enough for me.
Jeez. Well, I had a friend who was struggling to produce milk when my son was little, Julian was little. They were born within a couple months of each other. You're going to laugh. I gave her extra milk, so I would feed him and pump, and I would give her my milk.
Yeah.
You can laugh now if you want.
No, it's fine.
I don't think it's funny, but
no, it's very precious, but we're just mammals. We're just such mammals.
So I guess I'm drawing a distinction. Like, if that's natural, that's milk that's naturally being produced. God, Benjamin. Why are you laughing at this?
I don't know why.
It's just like, you're such a child.
It's like titty exchange. It's so wholesome.
This is why women don't like you on the internet.
I know, this is why the crosshairs.
You're a little boy.
Oh, sorry. I can't stop laughing about this.
Oh my goodness.
I'm so sorry. Oh, okay, this is a really
Tell me when
serious
you're ready.
conversation. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, can I
So,
just contextualize, can we back out a little bit
yeah,
and then we'll
we have layers to back out from.
Back
Do
in.
you want to like ignore some of the threads and go back to a main one,
Okay, well,
main branch?
so your recent crosshair experience was that this person that you had interviewed months ago and
I've interviewed
came
Julia a
up,
couple times.
yeah, Julia came under fire for some opinions that Julia published after the GenSpec conference
Very recently.
in
I think
November.
there's something about Canadian
Wait, hold on, hold on.
Canadian people's some medical association
Yeah,
endorsing
I'm
breastfeeding
working.
in men. Okay, so that's what Julie said.
I'm wait, hold on. So I'm working up to that.
Okay.
So back in November,
Yeah.
Julie had made some comments not related to this issue, post GenSpec. And came under fire then, and you probably got mixed up in that somehow. But you said a statement, you published a statement online saying, I've found Julia to be a reasonable person.
That wasn't in regards to anything that Julia said. That was in regards to a photo of Julia that was put up by GenSpec, and then the way that the people were making fun of Julia.
Oh, okay.
And it was really ugly stuff. It was like, it wasn't about the content of anything that this person has said or done. It was just appearance-based mockery. So people were just ridiculing Julia for Julia's appearance. And I thought that that was really mean. And I said I found her to be a kind person and pretty reasonable or something like that. I made some statement about
Yeah.
like just saying I've worked with this person and found her to be. And so there's right now there's this whole Puritanism with pronouns too. And so that was another area where I'm being called out by these peoples for sometimes using wrong sex pronouns for people. And I've talked about that. Like I feel like nobody should ever compel you to do that. I don't think that anybody should compel you to give pronouns for yourself or to use any particular third person pronouns for another person that you don't feel fit. And I think that we're in an awkward place with all of the gender experimentation and
Transhumanism.
well and transgenderism
Yeah, transgender specifically, yeah.
that's been going on. We have a lot of people right now who are presenting in a in either an androgynous or a cross-sex manner, and it is difficult sometimes to navigate that interpersonally. Like, how do you determine what you're going to call somebody? How do you determine how you're going to talk about someone? I generally, with trans people, I generally try to avoid using pronouns at all. You're going to laugh again.
No, I'm just thinking about the
Oh, gosh.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us. Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Let me just
Do you need like a palate cleanser?
set up the conversation. Just let's
Okay,
slow down.
okay.
So you replied to a thread that was
Yeah.
mocking Julia Malott, and you said, I've spoken with Julia
I can look
and
and see
have
what
found, well,
exactly I
this is
said
just
if you
this is
want.
I just let me
Okay. Go ahead.
then Julia subsequently recently has said something pro men chemically induced lactation.
Apparently, I don't even know that that's the case. I just know that
Yeah.
that's what's being stated by
And
these
then
people.
for some reason, I don't know why, Kelly listed a bunch of people who have platformed Julia Malott and tied Julia's present statements to Julia's previous interactions with these individuals, yourself included.
Okay,
And
this.
then she used you as an example of GenSpec's finest.
She mocked fun of me. Mocked, make made fun of me.
Mocked fun of you.
So what I said was on 11/14, November 14th, I said, Julia Malott is a kind and intelligent person with an admirably nuanced and centrist take on some controversial issues. I was delighted to meet her in person at the conference. This is what I said under to sort of make a statement of support where I saw a person that I found to be a reasonable colleague, I guess, in this whole gender experience. I wanted to say something supportive.
Yeah.
And that's how I have found Julia. Yeah. I mean, I've talked with Julia. She's been kind. I don't know her very well. I know her professionally.
Yeah.
And I just, but this was my take. And what doesn't make any sense is to take something from November yes. and use that as evidence that I support some stance on male breastfeeding.
Yeah.
But I don't know. You had more to say. I will.
No, it's just, I don't understand why somebody would take a previous statement and apply it to a present situation.
It's guilt by association. It's classic cancel culture. It's you platformed this person.
Yeah.
You need to make a public statement renouncing them or else you are now bad because you're forever associated with a person that you have made positive comments about in the past.
Yeah.
And I just don't play that game. I find that to be childish. And I think it's part of the problem. It's just the same. It's the same stuff that the anti-racist crowd does. And it's the same stuff that the social justice people do. And I'm allergic to it. I can't bend to that. Mm. I don't care. It's what made me decide pretty much this. All of the attacks made me think, well, I'm never going to watch that video now, and I'm never going to weigh in on it. I have an opinion. I'll make my opinion known about the male breastfeeding thing. I'm fine to do that. But as far as like getting in and making a condemnation of somebody based on everybody else telling me that I have to do that, I just refuse to do that.
It's interesting that your defense of Julia was an expression of fairness rather than politeness. But you have low politeness, it says, on your personality, but you were standing up for justice.
I don't know.
Weren't you? I mean, you're standing up for fair. These people were being rude and you stood against them. So it's just interesting that you're motivated by a sense of fairness, which isn't that related to politeness in some way. But you weren't. But you're not gonna, I guess politeness is the nicety. I just don't, I there, it's just interesting.
Yeah, like there's a distinction that is between, interesting. Let's see how
between
the,
treating people fairly and
you want to do that,
being a nice person, I guess.
Yeah, let's see what they say here about politeness.
Oh, implications of neuroticism as a couple.
You're being tangential.
Oh, and you're being tangent.
Let's see, politeness. Politeness is, let's say, is a measure of a person's obedience, deference to authority, and their sensitivity to social norms. People who score higher in politeness are deferential, respectful of norms, and conflict averse. People who score lower in politeness are less deferential, less respectful to norms, and more comfortable challenging other people. So
it's not about what you're challenging. It's just interesting that there's one marker that tracks social conduct and another that tracks morals.
Which is social conduct?
What did you just say? Just like politeness is about conforming to social mores with regard to treatment of people. And that's distinct from fairness or justice.
I don't know that it's with respect to treating people any particular way. It's just about a reluctance to challenge people and a desire to be conforming and obedient.
Yeah.
And I guess I'm just not that way.
But you're conforming and obedient to your own morality.
Well, that's my own internal, that's me making my own way. That's me deciding for myself.
Okay.
But as far as outside pressure, I just don't, I don't feel much. Like the little Twitter mobs, the angry people telling me I need to do X, Y, Z. It's just silly to me. It doesn't, I'm not going to base, I guess this is sort of like asking you, are you somebody who's likely to do a lot of virtue signaling? in a way, you know? Mm-hmm. Are you more likely to be someone who's going to do things in order to demonstrate your compliance and your adherence to whatever social expectations are out there? Yeah.
It's another phenomena. And again, I don't know why Kelly J. Keene would go after you specifically. And that's a whole other issue, why she would act that way. I don't think that's the proper way to act, because I don't think it's good for her cause. And I mean, I don't have anything
against her. I'm not going to criticize her personally. I think she's doing some good work.
Yeah, I would like to have her on. I want to keep the channels of communication open. But another phenomena with Kelly specifically is her followers are so intensely followy. You know, she has this swarm of females that follow her. She's got a lot of groupies.
Are you going to say it?
What?
What you said the other day.
What did I say the other day? I can't remember. Did I say something?
You said.
Oh.
She has a
Well, let me set that up before you say that. So we were just kind of talking about people who have high disagreeable presences on Twitter, but also are not just shit stirrers, but get shit doners.
Yeah.
And Kelly gets shit done. James Lindsay gets shit done. James doesn't care who he ticks off.
Yeah.
Like, he will go after anybody.
Yeah.
Like, and it's just, it's kind of odd. You're like, whoa, he doesn't have any. Like, he's not tied to any group at all. He's tied to his principles, and he follows through on his principles. Kelly's a little bit different. She's tied to a kind of a group mentality insofar as her explicit stated purpose is let women speak or women's rights. She's always like, she's women's rights. So James has...
Are you start with James?
Yeah, it makes sense, okay?
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, listen.
That's not what you said.
Yeah, no, it's exactly what I said. Listen, listen.
Okay.
James operates with a meanness. it's the meanness. Like his center and his execution, it's a meanness. It's very individual. It's very I. It's an erect capital I.
Erect.
Kelly J. Keene's got a weeness. She's always talking about we. You know, she formulates a lot of things under the weeness banner. So she's just waving around a weeness, and James is waving around a meanness. But they're very similar in their power.
Oh, this
to
is
affect
the
change.
Silliest conversation we've ever had. You can't stop talking about.
Well, I didn't bring up your bouncing biscuits.
I can't stop laughing.
There was a super chat. Let me go over the super chat. Thanks, Jenny. $10 from Jenny's getting inking with it. Thank you so much. Yeah, and you. I have to start saying this now because of taxes. But if you guys enjoy this channel or our talks, like and subscribe and consider donating. The links are usually in every video. They're not in the link. The tip jar is not linked down below. Yeah, but sounds like KJK is using cancel culture to her own ends. Wonder if she realizes that pretending someone co-signs everything an undesirable says is a means of putting words in someone's mouth.
Yeah.
I don't think it's an efficient way of political behavior.
Well, efficient, maybe, but ethical? I don't know. I mean, again, I kind of just always come back to content and process. And like, if your side of the issue has these principles or these values that you're trying to stand up for, but then you go ahead and use the same Machiavellian, unethical means to execute your purpose, what are you doing?
Well, this is the problem. This is the problem with liberalism. This is the problem with tolerance. This is the problem with polite society. This is the problem. This is the Schmidtian question.
Is that you might get smacked in the face with a weenus?
Or the boob van won't deposit your milk.
Oh gosh, we're children.
No, in politics, there's a friend-enemy distinction. And to what degree do we, like if you look at the dissident right, what I call the DR, the dissident right online, they're constantly saying, look, people, the center, The centrists, so-called the classical liberals, are always apologizing to and for the left and always criticizing the right. And that's where
that,
you get the
no. Is that true, though?
If you look at it consistently, people are always if you're a centrist, you're always trying to like make sure that you are reasonable, but you're always apologizing to the left for the right. You're always excusing, well, I'm not right. I'm not right.
I'm not doing that.
I'm not right. No, there's this distinct tendency in politics for the friend-enemy distinction to be either covertly or overtly being displayed and executed. Mm-hmm. So insofar as Kelly J. Keene's tactic of shutting off dissent and roping off her audience from other voices is beneficial or not beneficial is a different question than whether or not her... there's ethics and then there's efficiency. Mm-hmm. She wants to create, and Kelly, or her followers or whatever, I'd love to have you back on to talk about this as a strategy matter, because I'm really interested in this. Kelly wants to create a women's party. She's making a women's party. To what degree is it politically viable to have a so-called women's party in politics? Like, what does that even mean? Like, they only have a few issues. What do they do about... They need a democratically viable monopoly or a majority of votes, so they're already splitting half the population, mm-hmm. right? And then they're assuming that a woman is probably a woman who aligns with their values, well, so they're and splitting it even further.
That's a good point, and that's I think really an important and relevant point to this discussion. I mean, one of the things that I keep being told since the GenSpec conference, since I came out and talked about the problem of the dress code, and I wasn't on the band. What are you going to laugh about now? What? You're smirking.
I'm sorry.
It was, you don't listen to women, or women are trying to tell you, or women feel this way, and you're making fun of women, and they're telling me this.
Oh, they were telling me it too.
Meanwhile, I'm talking about what I think,
yeah.
and I'm talking with other women who are talking with me about, I mean, like I've talked with Pamela Garfield Yeager, who was also at the conference. We've gone into that a little bit, talked about what we thought in our analysis of the conflict post-conference. And I've certainly talked with my colleagues from Solid Ground about this. And so I've talked about it with a number of women, but what we're being told is that we don't listen to women and we're ignoring women and what women think. And this sounds like the same thing that, I mean, what is it? Larry Elder is the black face of white supremacy.
Yeah. I mean, you're the woman face of man supremacy.
Something like that. Or of AGP supremacy is what they're saying. Yeah. And that,
you're a ball palmer.
What is that now?
That was something that they called Megan Murphy at some point.
A ball palmer?
Yeah.
Meaning?
You palm balls.
Oh, Benjamin.
I think it means, I think it's like a polite phrase of cocksucker.
Oh.
Like it's like not only are you cocksucker, but you're a ball palmer too.
Nice. Okay.
It's really interesting how.
And so it's like any nuance in this discussion, yeah. It's the same thing that you're saying. It's like you're kissing ass to the side.
Yes.
And so you're invalid because we're hardliners.
Yes.
And so I must not be a real woman, either that or I'm a traitor to the real women.
Yeah.
Because I don't automatically adhere to whatever they're saying, kiss the ring, bow, renounce the bad people and the wrong thinkers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It we spoke with somebody the other day offline, and this person said something to the effect of the difficulty of neutral voices, or the difficulty of making neutral points viable. And I've just been thinking about that today at our church, like when I was in worship, I was just thinking about being a crossroads for different points of view, being not disagreeable, allowing other people's points of view to come across, and allowing these different points of view to have their say and to intersect serially on my channel, mm-hmm. and my channel becoming just the smorgasbord of a certain bandwidth of political thought. And I would say that without feeling bad about it, like I skew center right, and because I think that there's more interesting things going on the right with regard to independent thought and really strong personalities, and also the center right or the dissident right, they don't have a lot of exposure. So I'm getting to like interact with
you
things.
You feel like you're talking to the underdog or something?
It's not just underdog, but like with the detransitioners, I got into listening to detransitioners because they were just overlooked. Like they're not getting a lot of attention. And so their stories are, they're incubating without all that attention. So once a lot of attention goes onto an issue, it gets really watered down and blown out a lot. And so in the dissident right sphere, there's a lot of like people are playing around with ideas more, and there's not so much scrutiny and not so much exposure on that, so that people are being a little bit more creative. It's a little bit more messy, I guess. It's kind of like my office. Like there's dark nooks and crannies and crumbs here and there. And like, oh, what's over there? Like, let's look over here, you know, and stuff like that. So where was I going with that? Oh, that was just like my...
The difficulty of being neutral.
The difficulty of scaling neutrality. The difficulty of being successful, so-called, as a media producer or content creator, as somebody who doesn't have strong opinions. And I was thinking about that, and I've thought about that a long time, about the people who win on Twitter, the people who get a lot of likes and retweets on Twitter are saying, the people like in my jurisdiction or in my associative like proximity, politically speaking or issue-wise, they say something that was fresh like 3 or 4 years ago, and then they get thousands of likes.
Yeah, you've
and I just don't want to repeat myself. I don't want to say things that are like anodyne and pablum or just like normal things. And so I miss out on a lot of engagement. I either have to be spicy or I have to take a position, but I want to be,
what about just,
I want to be engaging with the position.
Being honest about your thoughts about something. About the given issue.
Well, it seems like the given issue, it's not even just about the given issue. It's about like having a position on the given issue. It's like, I don't even like really care to have a position.
Well, that's kind of how I felt about this men with breastfeeding thing. I don't really feel like it needs an awful lot of analysis because I back all the way up to pharmaceutical intervention, and that's where I draw the line.
That's where you cut the...
I mean, it's problematic for so many different reasons.
Cut the glands.
Yeah, the glands, the cord, the...
The moobs.
I don't know about that. Yeah, moobs, no.
I don't think it's correct. Yeah, so with regard to chemically altered men breastfeeding, there was an article not that long ago from, I think it was the NHS's trust, some trust issued some sort of paper.
Was that what it was? I thought it was Canadian, but maybe it was.
It was NHS, and they stated, the article stated that it's perfectly fine for men to breastfeed. And it was really interesting because for so long, the pharmaceutically run or at least propped up medical journals and stuff have been decentivizing women from breastfeeding, if I understand the situation correctly. Mm. Breastfeeding has been kind of like decreasing over time, or at least
It's increased recently, but it took a big dip in the 60s and 70s when a lot of moms were encouraged to give their babies formula. And then our generation, a lot of people weren't breastfed. And,
and look how we turned out.
I was breastfed.
So was I think. I'll have to write in.
Write in?
Yeah.
To your mother?
Yeah.
You write into her?
Yeah.
I think that it is a natural body process. And so to really influence it with chemicals is going to change the composition of the milk it's a living fluid. It's an organ. How did we end up back on this? We were just talking
about
this.
Oh, you know what? I did interview one woman a couple years ago who turned out to be a lactation specialist. And she said she was talking on a cellular level, like breast milk is actually like a living organ.
Yeah, it's a tissue.
It's a tissue?
It is a tissue. It actually responds like the mother holding the baby. Mothers have this compulsion to smell their babies and kiss them and put their lips on their babies. They're just constantly, it's like you're like testing you're sampling,
yeah, chemically,
basically.
Yeah, yeah.
And then your body's actually responding. So when your baby is ill or exposed to certain things, the breast milk makes things that help respond to that. And breast milk is different throughout the day, different times of day. It's got different protein and fat composition and things. So it's actually mapping onto the needs of the baby.
That's so amazing.
It is amazing.
I mean, it's hilarious and miraculous too. Like, I'm going from laughing and crying to it. It's just so freaking miraculous.
Yeah. Yeah. To think that a man's body could produce anything like that is just, it's bizarre to me.
Yeah.
Or a person who is not naturally in that developmental state.
Yeah.
I don't know the science behind it. I haven't studied it. But it is just very deeply disturbing to me to produce that via an artificial, hormonally manipulated, mm-hmm. pharmaceutically manipulated process.
Yeah.
But again, you were just talking about neutrality and we ended up back on that. I feel like this is the really tangential.
You're fine with organic raw cow's milk though.
Well, I don't give it to an infant, but yeah, I'm fine. I drink that. Give it to the boys. I think it's better than almond milk or soy milk or any of those weird things.
But that's not a moral issue.
I mean, I guess it is if you really want to talk about animal husbandry and factory farming and how are the animals being cared for. You could get moral with a lot of
things. But just the act of drinking milk from another animal.
Maybe. I mean, when you think about it, it's kind of weird that we do that.
Mm-hmm.
But it is very nutrient rich and it's good for your gut. And it's good for you there are people who will refute that and say that it's wrong. It's bad for you and it's actually caused lots of problems. But
yeah.
It tends to be a really nutrient dense food.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. There's a lot to say about that. Do you want to go there? Or do you want?
I don't
want to
be in the crosshairs of the almond milk industry. No, thank you. You want to help me read some of these comments? Yeah. Was there any questions? I flipped my opinion on surrogacy instantly when I heard a lesbian rad femme criticize it.
Interesting.
Flipped which way?
How? Yeah, I wonder.
Rib Rascal. I think he's being
surrogacy
rascal.
Surrogacy is interesting. Who's Lodi? Lodi? She is kind of too SJW for me. Is she talking about me? Maybe Kelly J? I don't know.
Okay, this is... Sophie says, holding the line is important. There are lines that should not be crossed. This is... Okay, so this is the political prompt. Where will you draw the line and how will you hold that line? And what method are you going to adopt to enforce that line? What line are we talking about? Are we talking about men breastfeeding children? I think that there is... I haven't thought about it because I would have to construct an argument based around my disgust. Just like first and foremost, I would have to say disgust. That's wrong. That's morally wrong. And that's just a black box. Mm-hmm. So I can't really actually make an argument on that grounds totally.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, my position would say, no, this is not correct. This mm-hmm. is incorrect. Actually, this is a perversion.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think I could back that up by saying this is not, it's not natural. So it's chemically induced, mm-hmm. you know, so I don't think it's good for the baby. We don't know. You'd have to submit babies to lifelong, like,
over time.
Yeah, you'd have to do a lot of things. I don't even know if that's ethical to do, but basically it would come down to what is the purpose of a man's body as opposed to what is the purpose of a woman's body.
Mm-hmm.
And that there's an ontological purpose in male and female bodies. And I really like the kind of Catholic position that was derived from, John Paul wrote a book on sexuality, sacred sexuality. And I spoke with Maria Brandel about this. And I believe Mark Barnes and Maria Brandel on New Polity get into this when they talk about gender, about there is a moral content to the bodies that we have. Like our bodies, because they are a creation of God, they are a tool of love. They're mm-hmm. meant to, they have a purpose. They have an ontological reality mm-hmm. that suits their purpose. And that purpose is love. And a woman's ability to create life and sustain life is a sacred thing because it's a manifestation of a divine reality that is being produced physically for us to behold and to cherish and to worship. Mm-hmm. A man doesn't have that capacity. Mm-hmm. A man doesn't need that capacity. But then, if I do that, why do men have nipples? If they're not there to be useful. Mm-hmm. Like, why would God create man with nipples? If man didn't have some sort of, if there wasn't some sort of meaning right. In the myth.
That's a good question. Here, right. I wanted to get, where is this one? It was Chaucerian Fraud had a question that I wanted to go back to. This one right here.
Okay. I'm going to have to.
Can you pop that up there? Part of me agrees with KJK, trying to be nuanced about a dude dressing up like a woman and trying to participate in a society like a woman seems a bridge too far. That's an interesting thing to bring up. I think that what, I agree that there are questions about that. That comes back to the whole trans debate in the first place.
Yes.
The fact is that right now we have an entire generation of kids that is being indoctrinated heavily to think that trans is not only good, but desirable.
And real and always been and, there.
Yeah. And so that we've got an entire generation of people that are impacted by this ideology. And I was seeing it when I was in graduate school. It's the first place I came into contact with this. And I'm okay.
Right,
and
continue.
And so we have people already doing this right now. And, you know, these are not, that one aspect of a person is not the only thing about a person. So there's lots of other personality characteristics, desires, interests, you know, just everything that makes a person, trans is not the only thing about them. So I've worked with people who are trans identified, who are lovely people, who have a lot of wonderful things to offer. And I don't like gender ideology. I'm not a fan of transgenderism, but there are a lot of things that I don't like that people do. And I don't have to be intimately involved in the private decisions of people. I think it's wrong. I think what we're doing in schools and in education and the social justice ideology is a malignant and coercive process that is not taking people in a good place. But it's kind of a love the sinner, hate the sin thing for me. And there are people who have made a lot of choices with regard to body modification and plastic surgery and things like this that I also wouldn't have made and might think are unethical for their surgeons to have done. But that doesn't mean that I'm going to treat that person like they're a social outcast. They still can move and do. And so like at this conference, for instance, this gets back to the question that Chaucerian Fraud is bringing up. That this particular conference, there were a lot of women who wear really manly clothes and still pass it off as professional, wear very male typical clothing and even men's clothing.
That's because men are awesome.
Okay, so there's that.
And women are special.
Okay, so women are wearing men's clothes and they function and act and do and blah, blah, blah. There are also trans people at the same conference who are dressed professionally in conference going attire of the opposite sex, of the sex that they are trying to present as. And, you know, natal females that are bearded and wearing men's clothes and for all intents and purposes dressing and looking like men and acting like men and doing whatever men do. Natal males that are dressed fully as women. In fact, one that was so well passing that you wouldn't have known. Nobody would have known. You know, I think this person is pretty incognito even. So won't even say who that was or anything, but a person who wouldn't have raised an eyebrow could have been in the women's room and nobody would have known because passed so well. And so where do you start drawing lines? That's my question. It's not about, do you have a disgust response? Do you hate it? Do you feel outraged about it? And it's just, what do we do? That's my question. What do we do about that? Like the Phil Lilly thing, and he's wearing a dress, but he's also fully in admitting and embracing that he's a man and talking about the reasons why he likes to dress like this. And then when he's in polite company, not doing anything that tips you off that there's something sketchy about him, except for the dress. I mean, the dress was the only thing. Well, the book, but like, he's not like twitching and salivating or looking like he's going to go and do, you know, he's not imminently going to do something fetishistic. He's just wearing a dress. And as far as regulating people's behavior, regulating other people's behavior, I'm just asking, how do you do that in a way that doesn't also involve mind policing and policing the content of people's thoughts? How do you do that? Like, and so I don't disagree that, and I understand the sense of repulsion that some people have. I don't personally have as strong of a sense of that. I'm really bothered by, I think that there's a massive medical malpractice scandal going on, and I don't think that doctors should be promoting this the way they are. And I think that teachers and therapists are basically agents of the pharmaceutical industry right now. It's basically you're a bunch of pharma shills that are trying to pull more people into this body modification process.
Yeah.
But as far as individuals that have made the choices that individuals have made, who am I to even say that it doesn't make them happier?
There's that one line between adults and children. And involving an infant...
Well, this is not about that. His question was about men wearing women's clothes.
Okay, yeah. The downstream of that is that... Like, if a man is going to plug into the social fabric as a female, and we accept that, then... Why would we not accept a man plugging into the biological fabric or attempting
to? I wouldn't personally say that I would accept a man plugging into the social fabric as a female.
Okay.
Or vice versa. I would just say that's a person. That's an act of individual choice. Hmm. But when I talk about a trans person and I use wrong sex pronouns for them, I'm aware that I'm doing that. I'm making a choice between two things that feel uncomfortable. It feels uncomfortable, for instance, if a trans-identified male or a trans woman, however you want to call that person, is fully living and attempting to present as a woman, even post-op, I feel uncomfortable saying he. And I feel uncomfortable saying she, and I don't know how to navigate that. And I end up usually using the pronoun that they prefer, but I try to avoid pronouns altogether.
I default to they.
Do you? All right. My boobs are gone because I breastfed. Wouldn't have it any other way.
Wait, what? They suck you dry?
Yeah.
Wow. That can happen?
Yep.
They just like...
It can happen.
Wow. But
if you
that's a greedy get older baby.
And gain weight, they'll probably come back.
They'll pop back out. Don't you worry.
Hopefully so.
If not, you could probably borrow one from your sister.
But also, what's the value of always having like this neotenous, like youthful figure throughout life? We value that too much. That's a whole nother conversation.
You're using your weeness. You're waving your weeness around on that one.
Not literally. Yeah, no.
Well, that was cool. I feel like it's time to wrap up. We usually talk about board games, but we haven't played any board games this week. No, we got Earth back.
Yeah, we did play Earth this week.
We played Earth.
It with the kids.
We haven't played it. Maybe we should play it on my gaming channel sometime. Mm-hmm. It's a good game.
I like that one.
It's a really good game. I think that's probably one of our top games for the family. Everybody gets involved in that game. The 10-year-old likes just the story part of it. He's not too into all the mechanisms and stuff, but he gets to create a story about destroying his island. And the older one, he likes the systems. He's really good at the systems. And then you get really intense on it. And I get pretty good at it. It just hurts my brain. I like my brain getting broke. Breaks my brain. Mm-hmm. We have this Ark Nova game, and it's just a little too crunchy, and I'm not... Like, I want to play it, and when I pull it out and try to play it, I'm like, oh, I get it, but there's something that's just lacking for me. Are you going to read something while I just mumble about board games?
Yeah, I'm listening to you. Sorry. Yeah. I'm just also reading the comments as they pop up.
Because we have one game... we only have one, like, war game, and it's the Star Wars deck building game, which is a very well done game. Even you enjoyed the one or two times, but me and the boys, it's the deck. It's one. It's Empire Against Rebels.
It was so yeah.
Okay,
we find you and the boys.
Yeah, but we the boys really like it because like we're destroying each other.
My favorite is Azul.
Yeah, you're Azul. Summer Pavilion. Is it?
Yeah, I like that one a lot. I didn't like it at first, but I like.
She likes the abstract ones, but I'm getting us Inish, which is it's a dudes on a map game. It's a Celtic warriors exploring a new island and then trying to claim the kingship over the island. So that we haven't done anything that is directly competitive on the board. And so this we're moving it to here. Just take
Thanks.
Just take the power.
Oh yeah. Oh, Vibrant Goose has been playing Ark Nova a lot. It's crunchy. Cool.
Who's Yeah, it is crunchy. Yeah. I'll have to give it again. I need to find some guys locally that some
you can play with.
Adult males.
Yeah.
I have a whole bunch of the Arkham Horror, but I just can't play it alone and it's a lot of work and I can't like do it for all three of us boys.
Yeah.
Here.
You need some dudes.
So I need some dudes for my map.
Yeah, yep. You do need some dudes. Oh, you know, it's interesting. I was just looking for it. Someone said, Mirwar Jumo says, in Arabic, the second person is gendered too. That's very interesting. That would present a completely different quandary, wouldn't it? Because right now here, it's just third person that we're... And you can usually avoid that when you're actually dealing with someone face to face. And somebody else said Twitter is a board game. That's funny.
It's an MMORPG based on sentences, made out of sentences. That's how you should treat it.
Yeah.
It's just an MMORPG.
Well, I...
with sentences.
I have found it frustrating at times, but I think I've started to learn.
I gave you advice this week.
You did.
You woke up and you were in a state.
Well, I was kind of... I woke up and I'm just sitting there having my coffee that you brought me.
Yeah.
And I'm checking all my emails and notifications. And then on Twitter, it's like, it was maxed out on the possible notifications. And I'm like, what the heck? It's blowing up. And I have a pretty quiet Twitter account that I don't usually get a lot of interaction out of. And it was that morning that Kelly J. Keene put me on a blacklist.
On blast.
On a blacklist with a group of other people who have platformed the wrong people.
Yep.
And so there were just a ton of hateful comments.
She was in a state.
I was pissed off for about, what? Half hour.
I came back there and I told you because there was a cloud around her.
It wasn't that bad.
There was a cloud around her. I'm like,
was it that bad?
And I just said, if you're not having fun, put the phone down.
Yeah.
I said it several times. I'm like, if you're not having fun, and then your attitude kind of changed.
Yeah. I mean, you are usually right, but it takes me a while to.
No, I mean, it's, come to that. Yeah, it's just advice, but it's seriously, if it's being a drag on you, put it down.
Yeah.
Unless you can engage with it constructively.
To me, it's very important if I am angry to allow that to pass.
Yes.
And then to wait and see.
I was saying to ignore your emotions.
No. But I didn't want to respond to anything when I was upset. I wanted to wait until that passed so I could allow myself to think rationally. And I think I did.
You know what I'm going to cook you for dinner?
Salmon.
Yeah. I'm going to caramelize some onions and make some beautiful saffron rice.
Oh, yes.
And cook you and grill you up some salmon in a cast iron skillet.
I got coconut milk if you want to use that for the rice.
I was going to say butter for the salmon, but
yeah,
coconut milk for the rice. You'll be in charge of the rice, but we'll have to look up saffron rice.
I can do that.
Okay. I'll have to. Saffron always kind of tastes like a soap to me. It's got like a clean taste to it.
Hmm.
But it's not a disgusting kind of soap towel.
Oh,
it's
I didn't get any dill. You wanted dill.
I was trying to freaking find the dill, but that's fine. But no, and then I said, well, let's do saffron instead. I don't know. Saffron and dill might cancel each other out. So do you have any last words for this final moment in our public broadcast?
It might be the final moment after all the like weenus and boob jokes today. This is so silly.
I didn't even make a boob joke. I just started laughing
about
at
boobs the entire time.
Not the entire time.
Just for like 10 minutes.
It was just, I was having these visions that I will not repeat on air or even to you.
Oh, really? Oh, geez.
No,
now
I'm
curious.
I'll tell you.
Okay. Well, it's nice to see you guys. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah.
And wait, what does Ninja Kitty say? Miss... But which ones are clones and who is me? Oh, does Ninja, is there multiple
Ninja
Kitties?
Yeah, boy, Zach on how SJW is with the comic book industry. I'll look into that. Thank you very much, Moomar. I'll look for ya boy, Zach. Ya boy, Zach?
All right.
Do you want to end us with the song?
Go ahead. Why don't you sing?
What song do you want?
What was the one you were singing earlier?
Attitude, attitude. It makes me nice, it makes me rude. Mostly I can't control my mood. So what am I to do about my attitude? I said, attitude, attitude. My heart's agitated and my mind feels blue. I got a case of nerves like I can't tell you. But I do what I can do about my attitude. I said, optimist, oh. Gooditude, baditude, optimistic, pessimistic, whatever, dude. Is your cup half empty? Is your cup half filled? Well, doesn't that depend upon the price of refills? Ba da ba da ba da ba da ba ba. See you guys.
Bye.